Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, January 17th, Pope Francis urges seminarians to appreciate those who foster their vocation and fidelity. U.S. bishops express hope for improved bilateral relations with Cuba as the Caribbean country releases political prisoners. And Catholic and Protestant leaders lay out a peace plan for restive regions of the Democratic Republic of Congo. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis met today with a group of seminarians from Cordoba, Spain, who traveled to Rome to visit the Holy Door during the Jubilee. In his reflection, the Pope encouraged the seminarians to put their hope in Jesus, saying that without hope, setting out on the journey of life would be madness. Kelsey Gussie reports.
Seminarians from Cordoba, Spain spent the morning in an audience with Pope Francis, who greeted them on the journey of life. The Pope explained how there are various signs of hope throughout this journey. Direction towards heaven, to the ultimate encounter with Jesus, is the first sign on this path of life. Pope Francis stressed that this direction does not lead to a comfortable life, because choosing comfort leads to dead ends. If this path is chosen, it requires turning back with shame. Continuing along the path of life, the Pope described the second sign, the dangers people might encounter along the way. Using the example of the life of their hometown saint, Pelagius from Cordoba, he encouraged the seminarians to persevere on the Lord's path, emboldened by the fact that Jesus will sustain and give them strength to be sowers of hope. One of the seminarians' stops on their life journey was this encounter with the Pope and a visit to the Holy Door during the Jubilee. Pope Francis underlined that everyone needs to feel Jesus' presence in their lives. And in the Eucharist, Jesus prepares us when we get a flat tire in the middle of the road, and he welcomes us when fatigue overcomes us and when we must stop to take a break. Without the hope that Jesus brings, the Pope said, setting out on the journey would be madness. It is only through trust in him that man can be certain he will reach his destination. Yet Pope Francis warned the seminarians that being sowers of hope does not mean saying words of courtesy or opting for a sugary goodness. This path of life is not one to be traveled alone, he concluded. It requires a community, guiding, defending, assisting, and blessing those whom the Lord entrusted to us as our task. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Mongolia's commitment to religious freedom has fostered a society enriched by material prosperity and values essential to human fraternity. Pope Francis offered that praise recently as he met with a delegation of Buddhists from Mongolia in the Vatican. Joseph Tulloch has more.
The Pope said that the visit was of particular significance since it was the first by a group of Buddhist monks from Mongolia. He suggested that the visit reflected the friendly and enduring relations between the Holy See and what he called the noble people of Mongolia. Pope Francis went on to note that Mongolia had undergone a profound religious renewal since the 1990s. From 1921 until the late 1980s, Mongolia was a one-party state with close ties to the Soviet Union, and Buddhism was violently repressed. Since then, the Pope said, Mongolia has reclaimed its rich spiritual heritage by reviving traditional spiritual practices and integrating them into the nation's development. The Pope also praised the Buddhists' commitment to religious freedom and dialogue, saying that such fraternal solidarity enriches Mongolian society just as much as its increasing material prosperity does. The Pope also noted that the Mongolian Buddhist visit to the Vatican comes amid the Church's 2025 Holy Year, a time, he said, of pilgrimage, of reconciliation, and of hope. In a time marked by natural disasters and human conflicts, the Pope said, this holy year calls us to the shared goal of building a more peaceful world. The Pope emphasized that religious leaders, each rooted in their own spiritual traditions, bear a collective responsibility to, quote, renounce violence and embrace a culture of peace. The Pope brought his address to a conclusion by saying that he hoped that the Buddhists' stay in Rome would be enjoyable and enriching. He encouraged his guests to persevere in fostering dialogue, fraternity, religious freedom, justice and social harmony, and also to continue strengthening their relations with the Catholic Church in Mongolia, for the sake, he said, of the peace and well-being of all. To you and to all those you represent in the Buddhist monasteries in Mongolia, the Pope concluded, I extend my prayerful good wishes. May you remain steadfast in your commitment, active in compassion, and joyful in hope. I'm Joseph Tullock.
Israel's Security Cabinet has recommended approving a ceasefire deal with Hamas to halt fighting in Gaza, which looks set to go into force on Sunday. Under the six-week first phase of the three-stage deal, Hamas will release 33 Israeli hostages, including all women, children, and men over 50. If it holds, the ceasefire will halt fighting that has razed much of heavily urbanized Gaza, killing over 46,000 people and displacing most of its pre-war population of 2.3 million. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has welcomed the decision by Joe Biden's administration to lift the designation of Cuba as a state sponsor of terrorism. As part of the deal, Cuba released 153 prisoners today, including a top leader of the political opposition, Jose Daniel Ferrer. Christopher Wales has the story.
Bishop Elias Zaidan, the chairman of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on International Justice and Peace, has commended the decision of the Biden administration to remove Cuba from the list of state sponsors of terrorism, a decision the White House certified to Congress on Tuesday. Earlier in July of last year, Bishop Zaidan had written to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, urging him to make the move and to maximize our country's engagement for the good of the Cuban people. In his statement following Tuesday's decision, Bishop Zaidan noted that for decades, in conjunction with the Holy See, the Cuban bishops, and the majority of the international community, the USCCB has urged collaboration and mutually beneficial relations between the United States and Cuba, as well as the full lifting of the economic embargo against the island nation. The bishop went on to express his hope that this policy shift renews our country's bilateral engagement on Cuba and that it prompts both the United States and Cuba to explore a greater degree of collaboration, including bilateral trade and greater access to travel between our nations. Bishop Zaidan repeated the U.S. bishop's position that Cuba needs more engagement from the United States, not less, adding, "It is precisely through a greater commitment to bilateral collaboration and cooperation that positive change will come for the Cuban people, including cultural exchange and a stronger economy." Earlier this week, and following President Biden's announcement of the decision to remove Cuba from the list of state sponsors of terrorism, the Cuban government said it would release 553 prisoners convicted of various crimes in the spirit of the Ordinary Jubilee of 2025 declared by Pope Francis. Cuba has already released more than a dozen prisoners, including Jose Daniel Ferrer Garcia, considered one of the principal leaders of opposition to the government. More prisoners are expected to be released in the coming days and weeks. I'm Christopher Wells.
The Catholic and Protestant churches have joined forces to launch an ambitious peace initiative to tackle ongoing insecurity in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo and in the broader Great Lakes region. Lisa Zengarini has the details.
Titled Social Pact for Peace and Living Together in the DRC and the Great Lakes region, the roadmap was presented earlier this week at a joint press conference in Kinshasa. By appealing to the values of peace, unity, and cultural identity, the initiative seeks to rally citizens, religious communities, and political leaders around a shared goal: ending violence and fostering harmony in the DRC, which has been ravaged by three decades of conflict and an ever-worsening humanitarian crisis. In their statement, the Congolese churches lament the enduring suffering caused by war, posing rhetorical questions that highlight the urgency for action. Declaring 2025 as the year of peace and living together, they urge communities and states in the region to work toward a peaceful coexistence so that their citizens can assert their self-determination. The churches describe their appeal as prophetic and pastoral and emphasize that its success relies on the widespread support from the Congolese people. A massive commitment to this pact, they added, will help restore the African sociological and spiritual values of Ubuntu as a foundation for building a lasting peace. It will also encourage dialogue and consensus to address the root causes of the conflicts that have plagued the country. The project also aims to unite all parties involved in conflicts to build a strong, united and prosperous Africa capable of facing the challenges of globalization. Additionally, it seeks to influence African political leaders to put an end to armed violence. For their part, the churches have pledged to advocate with key political actors at both national and international levels and to conduct social-cultural activities to amplify their message. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And finally, Mary's Meals is a Scottish charity that provides school children with meals. 148 million children worldwide under the age of 5 suffer from stunting due to malnutrition. Despite this global hunger, a staggering 900 million tons of food are wasted each year. Mary's Meals is present in 16 countries, feeding almost 2.5 million children. Paloma Garcia Ovejero is the Mary's Meals International Media Manager. Speaking to Francesca Merlo, Ms. Ovejero said Mary's Meals work is top-notch, but noted that there is always another child somewhere else waiting to be fed.
Mary's Meals is a global charity, and we feed children in the poorest countries of the world. That's the only thing we do. We don't build schools, hospitals. We feed children. And I love to say that this is the only thing we do, but we do it very well. And we love to think that the next child is waiting. We are feeding almost 2,005,000 children every day, but there are 70 million children around the world who are not able to eat or to study. So we have so many things to do, and we are in a hurry because we are hungry.
How does providing children with a meal mean that they can go to school?
Well, first of all, I need to say that it costs 22 euros per year to feed a child every single day. It means 10 cents per day. So there is money enough and there is food enough in the world. The hunger may be tackled right now. The problem is that if we think of the hunger of the world, it may be a big problem and we may feel really unable to solve it. But if I tell you that you can give 22 euros per year and it will save one life, it makes a difference because children can study and children can eat. And in many places of the world, like Ethiopia, Syria, South Sudan, Haiti, Yemen, it is really a game changer. If mothers can send the children to school, they know that at least they are not going to die because they will eat once a day. What we do is to provide a whole meal, the whole nutrition they need to survive once a day. School meals. You only eat if you come to the school. And of course, it means a new life and a new future for somebody who will be hungry if he doesn't receive this kind of intervention.
That was Paloma Garcia Ovejero, International Media Manager of Mary's Meals, speaking there to Francesca Merlo. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Alberto Giovanetti in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.